Praise the Lord. Just turn and look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor anything you like to talk. Tell her anything you like. Anything you like, just tell your neighbor. Hallelujah. My brother from Benin Republic said, when they left the church, after hearing the truth, they left their erroneous church. Then they sent people to start praying. All those people who left this church, they should pray that God should suffer them so that they will come back. Amen. Praise the Lord. According to him, that within that period, he sent his tithe and sent a text message to me that he has sent his tithe to our church account. And then, not knowing what is happening, I replied him. I said, you are unstoppable and untouchable. And he held onto it. He said, he showed his wife. He said, you see, they say, pastor has said, we are unstoppable, we are untouchable. Instead of them to go down, God began to prosper him the more. Tell your neighbor, you are unstoppable, you are untouchable. You are. Tell everybody around you, you are unstoppable, you are untouchable. Amen. Not if you left because of a revelation. Not if you left that place because of a revelation. If it is for any other reason, then their witchcraft prayer can work. But if it is because you saw the light, darkness can't catch you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And a pastor, one of our wonderful brothers in Holland, Pastor Terry, I'm sure you're watching us now. And then he said, it is restoration time. He said, it's restoration message now. He said, what will God use to confirm to us that we are in the restoration ministry? And he decided to challenge God after he preached in his church. And then a sister was to go for interview at the airport over there in Holland. And then when she was going, she said, she called him and said, the job that they are saying we should come for the interview, said it will require us wearing trousers. It will require us also painting. It will require us perming our hair. He said, so she doesn't think she should go for that interview because she will fail. All the other girls coming will knock trousers. And she will not. Then, Terry said, he said, now we will use you to confirm. Oh, glory be to God. I love that. I love that. Hallelujah. He said, you dress according to your faith and go for that interview. And the sister went, and she was among the first five that were employed. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, our tears are wiped away. Oh, he takes the room and fills the land with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes today. Be seated one moment. Be seated one moment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And another sister that came all the way from Cameroon, she also said, when she saw, according to our teaching, and she confirmed it from the scripture, that a woman, Christian woman, should not wear a ring and put all those jewelries and all those, you know, painting. And she got convicted. And the Holy Ghost met her several times to confirm that teaching. And she left. And she started thinking, hey, see the way I look. Eh? What would people say? She decided to be hiding from her friends first. But they say one day, she then thought, why should I be ashamed of my faith? And she came out boldly. They said, sister, why are you like this? She said, this is how I want it. This is how Jesus said I should dress. On the hills far away stood an old rugged ground, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, and I love, I love that old gospel, old gospel.
Break and death for a world of love. Sin and God's
hallelujah.
So I cherish your rocket cross.
Till
my trust is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Let us change it someday.
And exchange it someday for the crown. Oh, the old rugged cross.
So
despised. It's despised by the world. It has a wondrous attraction. A wondrous attraction for me. Oh yes.
For the dear Lamb of God.
For the dear Lamb of God.
Let His glory abode.
Let His glory abode.
To
bear it to the Calvary.
Hallelujah.
I cherish the old.
I will never be ashamed of that gospel. Oh yes.
I will cling to it.
I will cling to the rugged cross. And exchange it someday for a crown.
Yes, sir.
Oh, in the old rugged cross, stand with God, so divine, how wondrous beauty I see.
Oh, yes.
Was I told?
Yes, sir.
Jesus suffered and died.
Jesus suffered.
He suffered and died.
To pardon and sanctify
me. Hallelujah.
So I cherish the honor of the cross.
Heal
my
soul.
For this at last I lay down.
I will cling to the road.
I will cling to the pole of the cross.
And exchange it.
And exchange it something for a cross.
Everybody,
to the Lord.
Yes, sir. I will ever be true. That is my confession. That is my confession. I will not be ashamed. I will bear the shame and the reproach under any condition.
Then you will come.
That is the hope. That is the hope of glory. Oh yes. Oh yes.
There is glory.
Yes, sir. Hey, hallelujah.
So I change
the
road.
Yes,
rock and roll.
He
must rock me. He's at last.
last my labor.
I'm gonna cling to it.
I will cling to the rugged cross. Let me hear the sisters. Sisters, say it loud. Hallelujah, sisters. Let me hear the brothers. Hallelujah, brothers. So I've changed the whole of my everybody. Hey, hallelujah.
So I change.
Reach the bell of the
cross. Be my drop in the
land. Be my drop. Be the last I lay down.
I will cling.
I will cling to the hand of the cross. Your Bibles, and let's look at something in the Bible, then we pray. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And that scripture is sometimes misunderstood, but we have a proper understanding. Verse 11 and verse 12, and that is what we intend to achieve tonight. If you don't mind, will you be on your feet, whether you have a Bible or not? Some people don't have Bible. They hear say something they happen for Ejesha. They say, "Man, we go see what thing they happen there after all. Nepa no dey my house today." Spectators. So all the one who they do, we hear say prophets fool that church. "Man, we go see." Amen. Anything you came here to see, God will make sure you see it. If you have come to look for fault, you will see plenty fault. But if you come to look for Jesus, you will see him raw. You are looking for the Holy Ghost, you will receive him raw. Anything you are looking for today, you will get it in the name of Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 1, this is Apostle Paul talking to the church in Rome. And he said this, "For I long," verse 11, "for I long to see you that I may impart." That is the word I'm looking for. Impartation. "Impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." That is, "that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Now, anytime we talk about impartation, the average Pentecostal denominational believer, listen to my language, Pentecostal denominational believer, because we are Pentecostals, but we are not Pentecostal denominationals. I hope you understand. Pentecostal. Pentecost is an experience. Anyone that has experienced or believed what happened on the day of Pentecost in that upper room, and you receive the same fire, we also have that for identification. We are Pentecostals. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in healing the sick, casting out devils. We believe in seeing visions. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the manifestations of the Spirit. That is who we are. We are the Pentecostals. Can I see Pentecostals here today? Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. And whenever I say these things, revelation takes you away from religion. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you believe that you are you believe that Christ is your Redeemer, then you believe you belong to the Redeemed Christian Church. So we are Redeemed Christian Church. Am I correct? Can I see the Redeemed? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you are and so many of them. Many are called, few are. Can I see choosing? Thank you. You are choosing. Catholic means universal. Can I see the Catholic Church members here? Universal Church members. That is who we are. Don't you believe in baptism in the name of Jesus? We are Baptists. Can I see the hand of Baptists here? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is it an assembly of witches here? Is it an assembly of the children of God? So we are from Assemblies of God Church. Can I see you? Can I see you? Praise the Lord. What is an embassy? An embassy is a place you go to get visa. Have you come here to get visa? The hope of glory? Can I see people from Christ's embassy? Christ embassy, Christ embassy. Praise the Lord. And we are a heavenly church. Therefore, we are celestial church. Can I see celestial people? Celestial. That is who we are. Don't make any mistake. Amen. And we are the bride of Jesus, right? Because we are married to Jesus. Can I see the bride? Can I see the bride? That is who we are. Can we clap our hands for who He has made us to be? As who He has made us to be. Amen. So we have gone beyond church. Where we see somebody, if he tell you, I am from Redeemed, say, oh, you are my brother. Amen. If he say he's from choosing, oh, are you also choosing? I am too. Amen. You hug him. We are talking about revelation. Now listen, the average Pentecostal believer, when he hears impartation, some people came here because they heard us in our advert for this program saying there shall be impartation. Now, the kind of what they know to be impartation is where somebody carrying an anointing. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Take it! But get that statement very well. See the way he put it in verse 11. So that you understand what he meant. He said, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. You don't get established by falling down under anointing. So therefore, the impartation there is not him throwing something on you to fall down, then you'll be established. No. The establishment there, the next verse makes it even clearer. That is, see with his explanation, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, mutual revelation. Mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual faith. What I believe, I want you also to believe. And the only way you can be established in what I believe is by an impartation. This impartation is in your understanding. Amen. That you live here and you receive something. Something that anchors you. No wind of doctrine can blow you away. Hallelujah. When my brother told me in the office today that doesn't he think we should, you know, be careful about saying you are free to go anywhere you want to go. Be free to go anywhere you want to go, any church. When I made a statement that you have a need and you know somebody has a genuine gift that can help you in that area, and then that doctrine or that teaching, whatever they do, that makes you to be afraid to leave your church and go to another church, I say it is wrong. Now my brother is saying, don't you think it is dangerous? You are exposing your sheep to all manner. Not many people are strong enough. You know, some people are running after gift. When they go there, then you know, they may not come back. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. If you go and you hear something somewhere and stay there, it means that man there is your shepherd. Amen. And the reason why pastors are afraid to let their people go to other churches is because they are afraid they don't have something enough that can keep their people. Amen. Now, I am making an impartation that you be established. For that is the purpose of the fivefold ministry. Open Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. And let me quickly correct this also. I have heard Chris Oyagilome take this teaching. I heard him on his broadcast. He's saying that the body of Christ is such that he said he gave some apostles. What he means is some ministry. What he gave those people in that church is some. He gave them apostles. Then another church somewhere, he gave them prophets. Like in Ikotu. Prophets. Then in another ministry somewhere, he gave them evangelists. In another one, so I don't know what he called his own, Christ Embassy, which one they have. But what he's trying to say, that is the meaning of that verse. That is not the meaning of that verse. Amen. He gave some, that is, some of the members of the body of Christ. He has raised some of us, apostles. Some of us, prophets. And to some, what? Evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For what? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. One ministry only cannot perfect you. A prophet has nothing to give a believer for perfection. A prophet can never make a sinner to know that he's a sinner. That is for his ministry. Praise the Lord. That is why, look at all the prophetic churches that are pastored by prophets. Tell me whether you see any form of conversion there, other than a clinic for people to go and have their problems solved, whoever you are. When you come, he's looking for your problem to solve it. He's not looking for the way to show you for your salvation. Because he himself, he doesn't know it. That's why I say that according to the structure of the body of Christ, a prophet cannot pastor a church. You have nothing to give them. Christianity is more than see the day you will die and the day you will be born. See vision for you. It's more than that. It is given for the perfecting of the saints. And the perfecting, he mentioned all of them. the perfection of the saints. It is a teacher that does it. It is a pastor that does it. These are the two ministries that perfect. Then he went further. For the work. Amen. For the work of the ministry. Which ministry? Apostle Paul told us, the ministry that has been committed to us is the ministry of reconciliation. That is the work of an evangelist. Go to the field where the children of God are locked up there in sin and unbelief, and go and bring them back to Christ. That is his ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the ministry for edification. Amen. The ministry for edification, praise the Lord, is now the prophetic ministry. That's exactly what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 and verse 3. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit speaketh mysteries. Now, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification and what? Exhortation and what? Comfort. What that gift does is to edify us. As Christians, we will face problems, frustrations. You are confused what is happening. And you come before a prophet. He gives you a message that comforts you. This is thus said the Lord. This is what is happening in your life. But by this time, so this will happen. Then you have courage to push on. Amen. So, a prophet does not go to Biapalo. If he ever lands there, he will see vision. He will never see anything wrong with Bia. Because that is not his ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The teacher also is for edification. Now, why I remember that place is... Let's read on. Which verse is that? Where are we, sir? Sorry. Ephesians. Amen. Now, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My emphasis is verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is what we try to do when you establish the members of your church. Establish them. No false doctrine will push them to and fro. They will soon know that not be every food eagle they eat. They will soon know, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is not every church that is the church of Jesus Christ. They will know it. They will know who to associate with. Even if they visit your church, they know to which extent they will do the things you are doing there. And that's what Will Abraham told us. You go there, but you don't join them. Because certainly, the knowledge of truth makes it uncomfortable for you to stay in some of those places. Praise the Lord. And so, when we talk about impartation, we are talking about something that will get you established. And it comes by revelation. By a knowledge. Now, watch something. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. verse 7. And this is the time to talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to do what? To do what? The manifestation of the Spirit. So, what is the manifestation of the Spirit? It is those nine gifts that he mentioned from verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, what is the manifestation of the Spirit? The manifestation of the Spirit is the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, watch it. My emphasis today is, what is the gift given for? He said, the manifestation of the Spirit, and he manifests by the way of this gift. He said, it's given to every man to profit with her. What is he given for? It is given to you to profit with it. What is profit? Profit is the act. Amen. Hallelujah. How will the economist define profit? Cost of sales. Say it again. Cost minus. Let me hear somebody. Can you give somebody a microphone, please?
Profit is sales price minus cost price.
Thank you. God, that man must be an economist. Cost price minus the selling price is equal to profit. Why will Apostle Paul use that language in the operation of gifts? The reason is this. Look at this scripture. Luke chapter 19. Apostle Paul had perfect understanding. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 19, it's a parable we all know, but sometimes we have not taken time to break it down. Verse 12. Or verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So that from this you will also know why Christ has delayed his coming till now. He said, therefore, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who is he talking about? Who is that nobleman? Shout his name now if you know it. Jesus himself is that nobleman. I go to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I'll come and carry you so that where I am, you will be there too. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. John 14 says so. And he called, before he left, he called his 10 servants. Remember, it's a parable. They are not only 10. And delivered them 10 different pounds. And said unto them, what did he say they should do? Say it now. Read it now. Till when? Till when? Occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him, the Jews, and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's why they were persecuting the disciples. And it came to pass that when he was returned, and he will soon come back, having received the kingdom, Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man has gained profit by trading. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. The talents given to us, they are those gifts that he has given you. And one day, he is coming back. And he will ask you, what did you do with that gift I gave you? Now, church, listen. This is a teaching that not too many pastors teach. And some of you are gifted and are sitting right in those congregations. And you will not use that gift because, number one, they have set barriers. You can't even be a minister until you have gone to some school of theology. Another place, you have to have a degree. I want you to understand, when we teach something here, they say we are critics. The denomination puts a criteria to be a minister, some of them, that you must be a graduate. It doesn't matter whether a graduate of history or English language or biology. Once you are a graduate, that's all. And you have money, you become a pastor. And some people think that they have a ministry. And those who have the ministry, they are bad because they have no education. And tell me any man that God has used for the purpose of salvation. Jesus himself, which school he go? And I know one man that went to school. That man is Apostle Paul. But when he came to the knowledge of salvation, all his educational gatherings, what did he do with them? He counted it as, for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The one that Apostle Paul is throwing away, a denominational headquarter, he said you must have it to be a minister. Error. 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 Error.